This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. Two polls out in the past week showed good news for Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's possible presidential run. Popularity polls in both Iowa and New Hampshire, home of the earliest primary contests, showed Walker leading all of his Republican rivals.
While much can and will change in the year between now and the elections, the early support will likely have an impact on Walker's ability to raise enough money to be competitive over the course of a campaign. Ken Vogel is chief investigative reporter for the news website Politico, and he wrote this week about Walker's efforts to lure former donors to Mitt Romney's campaigns now that Romney announced he won't run for president again. Ken Vogel joins us on the line from Washington. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Are Mitt Romney's former donors a good match for Scott Walker?
In some ways they are, though that's really his key challenge, is to sort of strike this middle ground. That's the theory of the case for his candidacy, that he can appeal to establishment donors and establishment operatives, kind of the country club Republicans, as well as the Tea Partiers and the grassroots activists. That's something, if he could in fact do that, that not a whole lot of other candidates in the field could do. So that's what makes him unique, and he has definitely attempted to make inroads with the establishment donors and establishment operatives increasingly here as Mitt Romney has dropped out of the field.
Well, and so is this the idea in going to places like Florida and New Jersey for fundraisers?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you look at some of his hires, it's interesting because the folks on the money side are mostly folks with deep ties to the establishment and the Bush campaign, that is George W. Bush. He just hired a lead fundraising consultant, Jenny Drucker, who is the finance director at the National Republican Congressional Committee. But then the folks who he's hiring to sort of do outreach among the base are very much more associated with either the Tea Party wing or the religious conservative wings of the party. So it's a delicate balance and one that's not easy to strike. But he appears, at least early on, with the two polls in New Hampshire and Iowa showing him in the lead, to be uniquely positioned to make that play, with the caveat, of course, being that these early polls are often not illustrative of what ends up happening. And, in fact, the early front runner often ends up falling pretty quickly once the primary really gets underway.
Well, and you talk about this odd structure where the fundraisers are attached to the more traditional wing of the Republican Party, but then other folks in the campaign are more connected with the further right Tea Party wing. Is that likely once the meat of the campaign gets going to cause some friction within the campaign?
I mean, it potentially could, but it's more, I think, about the positioning overall of the candidate. That is, what one of the things that makes him appealing to some of these establishment donors is that they look at these polls, these early polls, and they look at his positioning, and they think that he could survive a primary in which the grassroots often have a disproportionate, the grassroots or the conservative wing of the Republican Party often has a disproportionate sway over the results. And so they think, hey, he's a guy who is, palatable to us, but also could survive a primary. They may, in fact, favor. In fact, many of the folks who we talked to regarded him as sort of a second choice. These are major donors who regarded him as a second choice behind a Jeb Bush or Chris Christie, who are more of that establishment wing. But the reason why Scott Walker even gets onto their radar is that, in fact, they believe that he could survive a primary, or Jeb Bush or Chris Christie might get taken down by sort of angry Tea Party insurgents.
How are Scott Walker's successful fights in his recall election and then his re-election campaign more recently likely to be relevant to his fundraising ability in a presidential campaign?
Oh, well, they're huge. Not only did he build a massive grassroots and sort of mid and major donor fundraising list as a result of those fights, his taking on the unions over collective bargaining was a real cause célèbre among both the Tea Party and the establishment major donor community. So he's got this network, and it's a network that he's going back to. Now, as I said before, a lot of these folks who gave to him, especially the major establishment donors, You know, they may look at him fondly, but regard Jeb Bush or Chris Christie as sort of a first choice. That said, he's still in the conversation. And, of course, they give him something of a track record, you know, a big track record from the viewpoint of conservatives who think that he really has accomplished something in taking on the unions, that his nod towards that union fight in releasing details of his funding proposal for the UW also, I think, excited a lot of these donors. So it's the track record and it's the donor network that he's built over the course of these fights that do give him something of a unique position that I think some of the senators, for instance, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, don't really have, because they don't have that executive track record of taking on fights that really excite the conservative base and the mainstream sort of major donor community. And he is unique among governors because he does have this nationwide network that a lot of folks, you know, John Kasich from Ohio, Chris Christie even, don't really have, because their fights in their states have not really risen to the level and garnered as much of the national spotlight as has Scott Walker.
A lot has been made, at least in some circles, about perhaps a below-par performance on one of the national talk shows over the weekend by Scott Walker. Does that hamstring him at all in terms of being able to convince some of these major donors, the Koch brothers, say, or Sheldon Adelson, that he's a legitimate, strong candidate for you know, the general election?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, a lot of people like to write off the early, you know, media appearances or the early polls as sort of indicative of nothing. But I don't think that's right at all. I think that the folks who are involved now, who are really their support and the way that they divide it up is being closely watched. They are paying attention to this type of stuff. And of course, one of the flaws of Mitt Romney as a candidate in 2012 is that he was seen as sort of a subpar communicator, that he couldn't connect either in the retail setting, working a rope line or a state fair, or in major interviews, and he came across sort of stiff and awkward. Scott Walker, I think a lot of folks saw him as sort of more of a regular man who could connect, but that said, these early appearances are sort of pivotal to cementing that perception or potentially undercutting it.
What about a so-called super PAC? Is that likely to be a necessary step for Scott Walker in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, if he wants to be a viable first-tier candidate, anyone who does is going to need a super PAC or some sort of outside group supporting them that can accept unlimited checks. This is a new environment in which we live post-Citizens United, where that is a real prerequisite for running a national presidential campaign. Where it's all presidential campaigns have to be, but that it is just as important now, and this is why we're talking so much about these big donors, to nail down at least a handful, if not a wide network of major donors, as it is to go into Iowa and New Hampshire and nail down precinct chairmen and go meet with these local leaders, local Republican leaders in church basements or in their living rooms. This is the new game, and I know for a fact that Scott Walker's allies are looking at this possibility, and it's not a question of if, but rather how and when there's a super PAC supporting Scott Walker if he decides to proceed with his presidential run.
I know you quoted at least one strategist as saying what Scott Walker really needs to do is raise enough money to be competitive in Iowa, New Hampshire, and a handful of early states. And if he is, the money will roll in after that regardless. Is that a strategy that has worked for other candidates in the past?
Yeah, although with mixed success. I think that you need to have the infrastructure needs to be there before you have that surprise showing or that strong showing in Iowa and New Hampshire. In other words, just because you win, just because you have a strong showing as sort of a dark horse candidate, you know, not a candidate who is regarded as like one of the top tier candidates, doesn't mean that you're instantly going to be able to raise the money. You need the infrastructure to raise the money. It doesn't just come pouring in. So I think that Scott Walker, though, has taken some of those early steps. They've been mostly sort of behind the scenes, but it's not like he would, you know, it's not like he would catch the political world sort of unaware if he won Iowa or won New Hampshire. They're sort of tracking this stuff closely and believe, I think the perception is in Republican circles that he's sort of taking the necessary steps to lay that groundwork so that if he does win one of those states, he'd be able to capitalize on it, as opposed to, say, a Rick Santorum, who kind of came out of nowhere and won the Iowa caucus after a couple more rounds of counting over Mitt Romney in 2012. And while he did kind of catch fire to some extent, he really lacked the campaign infrastructure and outside money infrastructure that was necessary to capitalize on that. I think Scott Walker's people look at that and look at other examples like Mike Huckabee from 2008, same sort of deal in Iowa. They look at those Scott Walker's people as sort of a cautionary tale to avoid.
Well, it's interesting stuff, and it's hard to believe that, you know, we're still like a year out from the first actual contest.
It never ends. But yeah, this is a sort of the new politics where this money, this infrastructure is so key if you don't do it, even if you're not going to end up running, if you don't do it, you can't even really think about running a viable national campaign. So Walker is, I think, being very methodical and diligent about laying the foundation so that if he does run, even if he's not regarded by pundits as in that first tier with Jeb Bush, say, he's definitely doing the types of things that are necessary to get him there should he sort of find that middle ground that we talked about and catch fire.
Well, Ken Vogel, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Ken Vogel is chief investigative reporter for the website Politico. There is a link to his article on national fundraising efforts for Scott Walker's likely presidential campaign from WUWM.com.
Coming up next, how the proposed state budget could impact land conservation in Wisconsin. That's when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.